Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Proverbs 24:4. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:4. And 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. We realize how important it is to study God's Word while our hearts are in tune and in fellowship with our Savior. And for that reason, we spend a few moments just to be sure that our hearts are right, and so we'll be able to properly receive the dissemination of God's Word. Not anything greater than what we do right now as believers is to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. And that's the reason why we're here. God has blessed us throughout this year, and we appreciate His blessings. We come to the end of this year with grateful hearts for all the wonderful blessings which we've enjoyed, and look forward to the coming year. We realize that if God gives us another year, then we need to be very grateful and thankful for His continual blessings upon us. May we bow for a moment. A prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the privilege now of turning our attention away from the distractions of the world to focus our minds again upon the wonderful Word of God. We thank You so very much for the fact that we are Your children, not because we deserve to be, but because of Your grace and love and blessings. And in these moments we're studying now, we pray that we will have the ability to receive spiritual fuel for our souls and utilize these wonderful truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen you see, and on the back of the bulletin today, Luke chapter 1, verse 35, which says, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Wherefore also that holy child being born shall be called the Son of God. There are many verses of Scripture that emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ is virgin born. The virgin birth has reference to only one person in history, and that, of course, is God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you at the beginning today some verses of Scripture. You may want to write these references. The first one is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And I need to remind you that this is the prophet Isaiah, and this is about 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene in the flesh. It's interesting to me, and I'm sure it's interesting to you, to know that the prophet Isaiah made mention of the coming of Jesus even hundreds of years before He was born. I read again Isaiah 7:14, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. The verse of Scripture that I need read next is Matthew 1, verse 18, which says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let me read that again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18. Luke chapter 1 verses 34 and 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." I've just read for you Luke chapter 1, 34 and 35. God's Word teaches Jesus was born of a human mother without a human father. Mary was a virgin when Christ was conceived. She was still a virgin when Christ was born. I'm sure you've been able to see this and you've read the scripture many times. Mary was a virgin when Christ was conceived. She was still a virgin when Christ was born. I don't know what that does for you, but it gives to me a very warm heart, warm feeling toward Joseph and his attitude toward the whole situation. Jesus was born of a woman so that he might be the Son of Man, born of God, the Son of God. You notice what I said there, the Son of Man on the one hand, the Son of God. Many years ago, I enjoyed listening to a preacher by the name of Dr. R.G. Lee. And he made comment about Christmas. He said, the meaning of Christmas. Christmas Day is a holy and happy day when we commemorate the coming of God's Son into the world. The incarnation of God by way of the virgin birth. He went on to say, never too happily can we sing. Never too eagerly can we ring the bell. Never with exaggeration can we express the Christmas benediction. Now the Word was made flesh, the Bible says, and dwell among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. The true meaning of Christmas is lost if we throw away our faith in the virgin conception, in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If not virgin born, then I have to say, then not of God. If Jesus had had a human father, then the Bible is not true. The book of Isaiah, the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, the book of John would all be false if Jesus had a human father. One cannot believe in the inspiration of the Scripture, illumination of the Scripture, and revelation of the Scripture without believing the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. The doctrine of the virgin birth and the doctrine of the blood atonement are interrelated and cannot be separated. One who denies is an infidel. One who denies the virgin birth may call himself a minister, but actually he is a brother of Bob Ingersoll and Tom Paine, a Christ denier and a Bible hater. The Scriptures plainly teach the virgin conception and the virgin birth. As I've already mentioned to you in Isaiah chapter 7, some 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, God moved upon a prophet by the name of Isaiah, and he talked about the Savior and the Savior's virgin birth, 740 at least years before this all happened. When I go to the passage of Scripture which we have on the screen, Matthew, the first gospel, and Luke, this wonderful gospel by the doctor, emphasizes the fact that God explains to Mary that Jesus is the Son of God. When I go to Matthew, for instance, I recognize there that that's referred to as the first gospel written. Traditionally, we refer to Matthew as A.D. 37, probably 4 years after the crucifixion. This gospel gives us the longest account of the virgin birth. It quotes Isaiah 7:14 and announces that the scripture was fulfilled. The Gospel of Luke, written by the beloved physician, as I've already mentioned, plainly states this fact in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Let me give you 7 points on the virgin birth. Number one, the virgin birth has reference to only one individual in history, and that's God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone might say, well, preacher, you're being very simple. Well, that's probably true, but we need to know that the virgin birth has reference to only one individual, and that person is God incarnate, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The second thing that I mention about the virgin conception and virgin birth is Jesus was born apart from human copulation. There are many different ways that I could say that, but I felt like that was a good way to say it. Jesus was born apart from human copulation. He was born without the imputation of Adam's sin, thus without a sinful nature. How many times have you heard this, that the old sinful nature is passed down to the children from the father, not from the mother? That's really easily understood, because had the old sinful nature been passed down from a mother to the child, then Mary, being a person with an old sinful nature, would have passed down to Jesus the sinful nature. Therefore, we know that the virgin conception and the virgin birth means that the Holy Spirit provided the chromosomes that were necessary for this baby to be conceived and born. Jesus was born apart from human copulation. He was born without the imputation of Adam's sin, thus born without a sinful nature. I could say that very well in many different ways, and we can lose the meaning of it if we're not careful. What I'm trying to get over to you is something you already know very well, and that is, the only person ever qualified to go to the cross and pay for the sins of the world was a person who did not have a sinful nature imputed to him. And that person is Jesus Christ. So we've looked at 2 points so far out of the 7. One, the virgin birth has reference to only one person. And number two, Jesus was born apart from human copulation. Number three, I want us to talk about the virgin conception and the virgin birth for a few moments. I've got about 5 or 6 points here, but these are sub-points. Since the sinful nature is passed down to the human race by the Father, which I've already mentioned, it was necessary that Christ not have an earthly producing father. Joseph is not the earthly producing father. Subpoint two. Man sinned in awareness. Woman sinned in ignorance. Man sinned in awareness, but woman sinned in ignorance. She was in the transgression and remained in the transgression. If you go to the Old Testament, you'll discover that. Subpoint three, all members of the human race are born with a sinful nature. The old sinful nature then has been passed down, as I've said many, many times, from the father to the child. I don't want to put you men down, but I want you to know if you've had children, you were responsible for passing down to the children. Now, women, don't be strutting your stuff here. I noticed some of you just kind of leaned back and stuck your chest out and said it's your fault to your husband. I can read you folks. Oh, it's so interesting how I can read you folks. Subpoint three, all members of the human race were born with a sinful nature. The old sinful nature being passed down from the father to the child. Subpoint four, The only way to become a member of the human race without a sinful nature would be to be virgin born. You see what I'm saying? I know that this may be seem simple, and yet it's profound. The only way to become a member of the human race without that sinful nature is to be virgin born. This is called a Godhead conception, or conception of the Holy Spirit. You remember when I showed you the triangle? There's deity 1, deity 2, deity 3. This is emphasis upon deity 1, the Father, deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, who became the existent Christ, who is the eternal Christ, and 3, the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to me when I think about this and realize that what we're doing at this time of the year, again, we're thinking about Jesus being born. And I realize that Jesus lived before he was born. You realize that? He was very much alive before he was born. In fact, I've thought about this, and you probably have too, that when Jesus Christ was born and became God in the flesh, he took on some limitations. Being in the flesh, being as a man, and being God and man, the deity was not affected in any way, but the man side was definitely affected. There were distractions in the man side. There was some weakness on the man side. There was temptation on the man side. You see all of this on the man side? And yet the scripture says he was tempted in all points as we are, but he didn't sin. Do you think that Jesus Christ was ever tempted like you are? Certainly. Probably had some temptations that you and I never have experienced, because the devil was really after him. You may think the devil's after you, but I'm telling you that the devil was more after him than he's ever been after you. Does that put you down? I'm sorry. I really want you to realize that we are human beings, and we do have sinful natures, and there are many times when distractions come our way, but you have to understand that when Jesus Christ came on the scene as the God-man, there were many limitations and weaknesses. Oh, did he get hungry in the flesh? Did he get thirsty in the flesh? Did he desire to have some rest in the flesh? You think about all those things. The only way to become a member of the human race without an old sinful nature was to be virgin born. A Godhead conception, conception by the Holy Spirit. Subpoint 5, Jesus Christ had to enter physical life apart from this sinful nature. But he also had to live a sinless life, impeccable, pure, spotless life, all the way to the end. And he did that. In other words, he was qualified because he lived an impeccable, pure, spotless life. What kind of a death did he die? He died a vicarious death. What does vicarious mean? It means he died in your place and mine. He was willing to go to the cross and die in our place. Number 6. If there had been no virgin birth, there could have been no salvation for mankind. The first Adam, go all the way back to the first chapters of the book of Genesis. The first Adam back there was tempted and fell. The second Adam, Christ, was tempted and didn't fall. When Jesus Christ came to the cross, after 33 years of pressure, he was there without imputed sin. He was there without personal sin. Having lived those 33 years, sustained and controlled by the Holy Spirit in his humanity. Now I need to stop you right there. Is there any way for us to have victory and triumph in this life? The only way that we can have victory and triumph in this life is to accept what he provides. As the Holy Spirit directed the Lord Jesus Christ in those 33 years, He was continually responding to the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. In order for us to be victorious, we're going to have to be responding, though we cannot do it as He did. We cannot live an impeccable life, a pure, spotless life. We know that because we have the sinful nature. But we also know that if there's any victory, ever any victory in our life, we have to depend upon the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God to give us victory. This Christ is unique. Would you agree? No one ever liked Jesus. Well, let's review for a second. Point one, the virgin birth has a reference to only one person. Number two, Jesus was born apart from human copulation. Number three, we consider the necessity of the virgin birth. Number four, let's put down for a few moments what the Old Testament had to say about prophecy. In Genesis 3:15, we have the first reference to the virgin conception. I would encourage you to write that one and look it up. The first reference to the virgin conception is Genesis 3:15-16. It says, I will put hostility between you, Satan, and her seed, Christ, the seed of the woman. Now, listen. We know that the woman doesn't have seed. All right. And then it goes on to say, and her seed shall crush your head. An emphasis upon Jesus crushing the head of Satan at the second advent. This is all in Genesis chapter 3. You'll miss it if you don't really understand what he's saying. And you, Satan, will crush his heel. That's the first advent and the cross. And when you go to Genesis 3:16, it says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in your pregnancy. In sorrow you will bear children, and to your husband you will have the stronger desire, and he shall rule over you. Oh, oh, oh. It gives us the responsibility that God has given to the man and the responsibility that God has given to the woman. Oh, you may say, that's a put down for the woman. Not at all. It's a build up for the woman. What woman would not want to be treated like a queen when her husband was a king? You see what it's saying? Please consider. The whole human race is one of two camps. Either the human race is saved or unsaved. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And the one not believing, not being convinced, not obeying, not being persuaded, not following, the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God keeps on abiding on him. Two great victories are made possible by the virgin birth. The virgin birth made possible the first advent, which includes an impeccable life, a sacrificial death, a bodily resurrection, and mediatorship. Oh, if I could just take time to spend an hour on each one of those, but look at it. The victory of the virgin birth made possible the first advent, the baby Jesus. Impeccable life, sacrificial death, bodily resurrection, and mediatorship. But listen to this. The virgin birth also made possible the second advent, at which time Christ will take from Satan cosmos rulership, abolish evil, and rule the world. That's the second advent. Do you have a mental picture of what I'm saying now? Do you have a mental picture? You see, the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age, intercalated, the rapture, the second advent, the battle of Armageddon, the marriage of the Lamb. You have all that pictured in your mind? And the second advent, and the beginning of the millennium, and Satan bound. Can you remember that? So, the virgin birth also made possible the second advent, at which time Jesus Christ will take from Satan cosmos rulership. He's in charge right now. Satan is in charge. Abolish evil and rule the world. Well, what if Christ had not come? What if Christ had not come? Let me give you this story. I read this some years ago, and I've given it a few times. But what's interesting is that you probably have a good forgetter. And when I begin to give this, you'll probably think, oh, maybe I've heard that, maybe I haven't, but that's okay. One of the things that I appreciate about the Apostle Paul is that he says, finally. And when he says finally, he begins to preach and preaches on and on and on and on. So I'm told it's okay for me to say finally and then preach for an hour or two. A preacher went into his study. This is a story on Christmas morning. Now, this hasn't happened to me, but I wanted to read this. He went into his study to study and pray. And he fell asleep. He was dreaming. He was living in a world into which Jesus had never been born. He looked in his home. He found no little stockings on the chimney corner, no Christmas bells, no Christ to comfort, no Christ to gladden or save. He decided that in this dream he would walk out on the street. He found no church out there. He came back to his library and realized that all the books about the Savior had disappeared. The doorbell began to ring. He was asked to visit then a poor dying mother in this dream. He hastened with a weeping child and realized that he had no words of comfort. He opened up his Bible and realized that there was no New Testament, no gospel, no promise of hope, no salvation. He dropped his head and began to cry. Later he stood beside her coffin to conduct the funeral service, but there was no message of consolation. No word of a glorious resurrection. There was no heaven. Only dust to dust, ashes to ashes, and one long eternal farewell. While he was weeping in this dream, he was awakened by the singing of the choir in the church auditorium, which was right next door. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And whoever wrote this said, let us be glad and let us rejoice because Christ has come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit should come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Wherefore also that holy child being born shall be called the Son of God. What a wonderful time of the year. Now I realize and you realize that Jesus was not born at this time of the year, but that's okay. We should be worshiping our Lord and the total work of Jesus Christ every day of the year, not just during this time. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, as we come to the close of this service, we want to express our deep thanks for the fact that Jesus Christ is God's Son, the Savior of the world. But most of all, because He's our Savior. We've accepted Him. He's accepted us. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. The Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so or maybe so. It says, you shall be. And so we pray that there will be those who hear the message who will trust you even now. And we thank you over and over again for every blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas.